I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a tough challenge for any preacher to preach about those antiphons in a merely prosaic way after Malcolm's marvellously rich poetic response to them. But there may be some complementarity in my merely prosaic response, and let's hope so. Those antiphons are themselves a marvellously rich evocation of the coming Christ, so full of imagery. And all the more powerful because they never mention Christ by name. It is all done by imagery. It's a marvellous commentary on the Old Testament and the passages in the Old Testament that have been taken by Christians as looking forward to the coming in Christ. Christ, who is more than Jesus of Nazareth, Christ, who is cosmic and eternal, Christ, who is one with the Father and the Spirit throughout all eternity. This Christ we hear celebrated in these great Advent antiphons. And the first one about wisdom. There's an ancient Hebrew idea of wisdom as a kind of consort of God. Wisdom is God's nature. Wisdom comes from God. It's through wisdom that God does whatever he does. Through wisdom the world is made, as the antiphon puts it, filling all creation and reigning. Or in an older translation of those Advent antiphons, which I think is very beautiful at this point, mightily and sweetly ordering all things. That's what wisdom does. Mightily and sweetly orders all things. Through modern science, we understand better how things are ordered, how well balanced they are. For example, the marvelously exact balance between forces of expansion and contraction in our universe that provide the stability that enables life to flourish. This is a universe that is orderly and lawful, and in a way that is remarkably productive. And it's through wisdom that Christians believe things are so well ordered. And now this wisdom, mightily and sweetly ordering all things, this is also one of the faces of Christ, one of the names of Christ. The wisdom through which the world was made, that wisdom is Christ. And this quite a similarity between this Old Testament concept of wisdom and the New Testament concept of word. Through wisdom, the world was made. Through the word, the world was made. And we'll hear it in the Christmas Gospel in a week or two's time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And without him was not anything made that was made. O wisdom. And the second antiphon brings us to God's chosen people, the Israelites, and to one of their key founding fathers, Moses. The Israelites knew themselves as a people who'd been delivered from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. That was a key part of their identity. And Moses was God's agent in delivering them from those conditions. And God announces himself to Moses in the burning bush as a God of glory, calling him to do extraordinary things. And in many ways, Moses prefigures Christ, though Christ goes further and fulfills what is just anticipated in Moses. God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush, but as Jesus comes up out of the Jordan, he hears the voice from heaven telling him that he is the beloved Son of God. Moses feeds his people with manna in the desert, but Jesus feeds his people with bread. And he's not just feeding them with bread, he is himself the true and living bread. And Moses gives them the law on Sinai, but Jesus fulfills the law. Moses gave them the law, but Jesus gives them grace and truth. Moses delivered his people from their bondage in Egypt to freedom, delivered them from death in the Red Sea to new life. But Jesus delivers all humanity from sin and death and offers to them that new kind of life that we call eternal life. Moses prefigures Christ, but Christ fulfills it all. And the next antiphon brings us to the history of the Israelite people, complex, sometimes unedifying, and it brings us to the Jewishness of Jesus. Jesus rooted in the history and traditions of his Israelite people. He is rooted, a root, rooted in his Jewish people and a shoot from those traditions. But Jesus is not only for them. He has broader significance for Gentiles as well as Israelites. He has standing among the nations, as the antiphon puts it. Kings are silent before him. Or in the way the Nunc Dimittis puts it in St. Luke's Gospel, he's the glory of his people Israel, but he's also a light to lighten the Gentiles. And the fourth antiphon brings us to another big name in Jewish history. We've already had Moses and now King David. King David brought order and stability to his people. With David, the Israelites are welded into a nation. They become a people who have a king, a people under authority. And David, bringing them authority, delivered them from their disorderly past. And Christ founds a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, as he calls it, which in turn gives rise to the church, which exists to give birth to that kingdom of heaven. So Christ is a kind of King David figure. And then there's the symbol of the key of David. The king, the key brings together authority and deliverance. It symbolizes both. On the one hand, the authority to open and shut, to restrain people or open them up to freedom. But the work of Christ in delivering us is deeper than that, more than earthly opening and shutting. It freed us from spiritual bondage as well. Christ opens and shuts. As St. John's Gospel puts it much later, he is the door of the sheepfold through which we go in and out. Come and deliver us. Then we come in the fifth antiphon to one of my favorite images of Christ, Christ as light, splendor of the light eternal. As St. John's Gospel puts it, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never overcome it. In darkness, there can be no true vision. We can't see things properly for what they are. In darkness, we can't find our way. There's no direction, no forward travel. Whatever our darkness may be, and we're talking here of spiritual darkness as well as natural darkness, Christ gives us light. He's light for those who live in darkness and the shadow of death. And he's a new light. A star of the morning, a new dawn, a new kind of spiritual light that can shine within us, illuminating our perception of everything we look at. Christ is a new dawn, a morning star. The next antiphon takes us back to the king theme, but no longer linked to King David. This is Christ, the King of all the nations. Christ who has authority over all, authority over everything in heaven and earth. And several ideas are brought together in this penultimate antiphon. Christ fulfills our desires. We often don't know exactly what our desires are. We have very limited self-awareness. And we certainly may not realize the extent to which Christ fulfills our deepest yearnings. This is a theme Augustine picked up centuries later when he talked about how our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. Christ is the fulfillment of all our desires. And there's a reminder here of our createdness, that we are creatures, living creatures, not dead matter. Creatures that are alive and move and grow. And the spiritual, psychological life of humans is guided by their desires. And the end point of their desires, that is Christ. And Christ is a cornerstone, another image crowding into this antiphon. A cornerstone, a crucial stone that bears burdens, supports weight. Who takes stones that have been separate and welds them together to a common load-bearing purpose. And we, of course, are the individual stones, and in Christ we find a cornerstone. We find our place and purpose in relation to them. And finally, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ, the incarnate God, God in human form, God with us. The prophecy in Isaiah comes from a time when Israel was threatened with invasion, and they badly needed God to be with them to safeguard and protect them. And it's a theme that St. Matthew picks up very explicitly in his story of the birth of Jesus, when he talks about Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, the fulfillment of this prophecy of a virgin giving birth to a child who will be Emmanuel, God with us. But God with us is now not just God with the Israelites, but God with all humanity. And this last antiphon brings together various key themes from earlier on in this sequence. The theme of king. Christ is the king who has authority over all things. Christ as lawgiver. Christ from whom comes the fruitful lawfulness that orders all things. And Christ the source of that moral order. Christ in whom we find the fulfillment of our desires. Christ who summed up the whole of the law in his twofold love command, to love God and love your neighbor. And the theme of hope. Christ is the one to whom we can look in expectation and desire. And then that final great invocation. Come and save us, O Lord our God. Save us from all darkness. Save us from everything that prevents us from finding the fulfillment that God intends for us. Come. There is in this Advent season, as Malcolm said last week, a threefold coming. The coming of God in Jesus of Nazareth. And the coming of Christ at the fulfillment of all things. Also the coming of Christ within each of us and in this earthly society. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and save us, O Lord our God. Amen.